Eliezer, or Eliezer, versus First American Title.
Thank you.
Good morning. Henry Jones appearing on behalf of the appellants and plaintiffs, Edward and Maya Eliezer. I would request to reserve 3 minutes and use 7 minutes now. This case, we're asking for the reversal of the trial court's ruling on summary judgment. We believe that the trial court erred in sifting through the evidence, pondering the nuances, and deciding a critical question of fact as to whether these 1993 encumbrances diminish the value in the Eliezer's property. If there is a diminishment in value, there is coverage. However, the trial court erred in weighing and determining that there was no diminished value. The court also erred in finding that the First American, as a matter of law, did not act in bad faith when doing the 2011, 2012, 2013 decisions. In 11, there was a denial. In 12, there was an acceptance of coverage, but then no benefits paid for a period of 16 months, necessitating the lawsuit. And then in 2013, reversed course and denied coverage again, citing this Form 34, which was an agreement to agree. However, the Form 34 had no impact on the 1993 restrictions. The 1993 restrictions were the basis that the Snohomish Health District cited in restricting the Eliezer's use of their property.
It was unclear who owned or who had an ownership interest. That's what the Snohomish Health Department said.
Exactly.
So let's focus on that. And it was not, and the Eliezers knew that they hadn't entered into an agreement. They hadn't entered into the easement. They knew that when they purchased the property that they had the Form 34 where they signed and agreed. So then we have the exclusions to coverage. I think that's what we've got to look at. And First American is cited to at least three, if not more, exclusions. So what's your response to the argument that those exclusions apply, particularly the failure to cooperate and the exclusion related to creating your own risk?
Yes, Your Honor.
Wasn't that the issue before the trial court?
There was a lot of issues, and that was certainly one of the issues.
Okay.
And where the trial court erred was finding that the Eliezers created the risk from the 1993 documents that the Talon Company had failed to find and that First American had agreed to insure. That was the trial court had weighed the evidence and determined that they had accepted the risk, but they didn't. They didn't know about it. They learned about it on their own in 2010 when they were doing permit requests. And
right.
When they learned about it for the first time.
They learned about the 1993 documents for the first time then. They knew before they purchased the property they had to enter into this easement agreement.
No, what they knew in 2007 was that there was an OSS on
right.
the property.
They knew there was a commercial septic system in their front yard.
And there was a request, the Form 34, an agreement to agree, basically an agreement to negotiate. And then when it came time for the closing, they asked to the Talon Group, which is owned by First American, what do we do about this? We never had this actual negotiation for the value.
Now, well, I think, did they? But now we get into the failure to cooperate, because the argument is, well, you didn't disclose to the escrow agent that there was this Form 34. You didn't disclose anything about page one of the Form 17. So why isn't that then a failure to cooperate?
That's an excellent point, and I can illustrate that by saying that first, the Eliezers did tell Talon about that Form 34. That was what they're asking about specifically, of where's this easement? We had this agreement to negotiate.
They didn't mention the Form. Nobody, as far as I can tell from the record, neither Nordstrom nor the Eliezers provided the Form 34 to the escrow agent.
That part, the record is unclear, but there is that's one of those questions of fact where the Talon Group was specifically asked by the Eliezers, what do we do about this requested easement? Because at the time, with the easement, they have the opportunity to negotiate the value, negotiate the term, negotiate who has control. They're purchasing the property. They believe they have dominant control. When their own septic tank failed and they went to go ask permission to access what they believed was their OSS and access it, because of the cloud on the title, the health district said, no, you can't.
Right.
That was a surprise to the Eliezers.
Well, it wasn't a surprise that there was a cloud because they hadn't entered into the easement. What was a surprise was they hadn't seen the 1993 documents.
Without an actual easement having been negotiated, from the Eliezers' perspective, there was no cloud. They owned everything. That's what they in 2007, they purchased the property. They purchased the ground, the soil.
They purchased the property subject to entering into an agreement to grant an easement.
There was going to be an agreement, potentially. There was an agreement to agree. And I think what's significant about that is to look back at the 2013 denial and the lack of the information and the failure to cooperate. First American can't shift the burden to the Eliezers to guess and speculate what all First American wants. Obviously, the Eliezers knew about the OSS because when they had applied, they applied access to it. They provided that information to First American. First American had an obligation in 2011 to actually investigate, to pick up the phone and talk to the Eliezers, find out information, send a claims adjuster out to lay the situation out. That's First American's obligation to do the investigation. That and their own agent had access to the easement issue in 2007. But let's presume arguendo that in 2007 an easement was entered into and they had done an agreement, found a value of, say, $20,000. Then in 2010, 2011, when their own septic tank failed, then they went to go access it thinking they had dominant control. They're told they don't have dominant control. They wouldn't have known that. They could still maintain dominant control, and it's a detrimental effect. And I'll pass for the moment.
Thank you.
May it please the Court. My name is Tom Peterson, and it's my privilege to represent First American Title Insurance Company.
And Talon.
When the plaintiffs purchased their property, they knew exactly what they were buying, and they agreed to it. Neither Talon nor First American had a duty to disclose the 1993 documents to the Eliezers.
What effect, if any, do the 1993 documents have?
Nothing.
Why?
Well, let's first start with the letter. The letter is no different than any statement by a regulatory authority that...
This is the Snohomish County Health Department. Letter.
Correct. And they're simply saying, they're proving a construction or remodeling of the property and the septic system subject to conditions. And one of those conditions was that they record an easement for the septic system in favor of the Bush House. That was merely a letter stating approving the permit. So that does not affect title at all. As far as the covenants are concerned, those covenants state that the properties will be treated as one for building purposes. But what happened is that that at the time that covenants, at the time of the covenants, the property was owned by the same party.
Right.
The Nordstroms owned both properties.
Right.
And so under the merger doctrine, which is well established in this state, there really was no covenant other than a promise in the future to maintain that separation. And so what the Nordstroms did later was to require that there be an easement. That would have satisfied the letter.
But now we're up to 2007.
Correct.
Okay, you fast-forwarded.
Well, in 1993, Nordstrom owned both properties.
Right, and so in 2007, they enter into a real estate purchase and sale agreement.
At that point in time, in 2007, it would be incumbent upon Nordstrom to do what she said she would do in the covenants, which was to treat it as a single lot for purposes of construction. Instead, what she did, which was acceptable under the terms of the letter, was presented to the Elizers a Form 34 statement requiring that the Elizers sign an easement. And the Elizers agreed to do that. They agreed to grant an easement. So that satisfied.
And it's an easement related to the OSF.
Yes. And so that satisfied. I mean, I really think as a matter of law, the covenants were a nullity because of the merger doctrine. But we know that covenants can come back to life or become effective upon a separation of properties when there's a new document or covenant recorded or the parties agree to recognize and follow a previously recorded document that otherwise would be a nullity because of the merger doctrine, if that makes some sense. So upon segregation, the parties had a duty to, or the Nordstrom, I believe, felt she had a duty to do something about this easement, and that's what she did. So she presented the easement document, or the Form 34, to the Elizers, and the Elizers agreed to it.
If they'd entered into the easement, would there have been a cloud on the title?
I do not think so, for that same reason, that the easement would then have superseded the covenants. The covenants, again, are a nullity by virtue of the merger doctrine. So, and it's important to keep in mind, you know, you use the term cloud on title.
Well, I think that's what the Snohomish County, or
right.
They said that there wasn't clear title. I mean, they have some language that is analogous to clouds.
Right. And a cloud is kind of a, you know, a vernacular, you know, kind of a common term, you know,
right.
That people use. It isn't necessarily an encumbrance on title. It doesn't necessarily mean that title is not free of encumbrances and therefore can be conveyed fully to a purchaser. So a cloud can be anything that creates a question. And I think that's all that the Snohomish Health District said, is that we have a question here.
Right.
And I think that's really all that it does. Now, keep in mind, there are literally millions and millions of documents recorded down in King County and all of the counties around the state. Not every single one of these documents that recorded shows up on a preliminary commitment for title insurance or ultimately results in some sort of an encumbrance or a defect in title. Although, they might raise a question if someone were to run across them.
So, time's short. You're arguing that a number of the provisions in the insurance contract bar coverage.
Correct.
So are you making those arguments in the alternative? In other words, could we agree with you on one provision and not address the others, or do we have to address each one of the ones that you've argued if we were to agree with you?
Well, two that they basically stand alone. One is that the failure to cooperate would be one that would stand alone. I think the two that have the most force here are there was no actual loss caused by the 1993 documents. And that's on page one of the title insurance policy. The title company insures against loss. They do not insure that there's nothing going to be recorded against your title that might raise a question or something. You have to incur a loss. So there was no actual loss due to the 1993 covenants. And as much as counsel have argued that there is a loss or that it's a question of fact for the jury or something, they've presented absolutely no evidence whatsoever that those 1993 covenants caused any damage. No one has sued to enforce them. The SHD.
So if we didn't want to go down that road, then there's the
4A.
Create your own risk, and then there's failure to cooperate, right?
Failure to cooperate.
And those are alternatives, aren't they? They're different.
Yeah, they're different, and each one independently is a basis for denying coverage. So, yes, 4A would be an independent basis for denying coverage because they created the very problem that they claim they have suffered loss due to. I mean, they are obligated.
How did they create the problem? By not entering into the easement?
No, by agreeing to enter into the easement. And the court, Judge Wilson in Snohomish
County. Well, but you wouldn't have the Snohomish Health Department issuing that letter if they had entered into the agreement, into the easement.
That's correct. I mean, well, the Snohomish County, that was done in 1993, and the letter.
But there was the later letter.
That's right. The later letter from the Snohomish Health District that said you need to correct your failing.
Right. We don't know who owns this property.
Mm-hmm.
So if they'd entered into the easement, that letter, the health department wouldn't have that concern.
That's right. Or would it be a very different letter? The letter would say, you've agreed to an easement for that OSS. Why are you trying to connect to it? So they caused the peril or the problem that they complained of, and they had full knowledge, although we're not relying on a knowledge exception, but they had full knowledge of the existence of the OSS in the front yard, and they didn't tell Nordstrom to remove it. They knew it was there, and they accepted it, and then they agreed to grant an easement for it. So that is Exception 4A. And then we've already talked about the fact that they failed to cooperate. I mean, during this whole process, in fact, at one point, the attorney hired by First American literally asked about the Form 17, which would have on page 1, are there any covenants? And they did not provide that. Apparently, that page 1 has disappeared or something, but that was not provided. But it indicates that this was a question, this was an investigation that First American was engaged in, and it was an important question, and it was never answered until well over a year later when First American basically discovered it on its own when they read the summary judgment order.
So they did not disclose that they knew about the OSS, that they didn't disclose the Form 34, and they didn't disclose page 1 of the Form 19.
Correct.
Or 17.
Correct.
That's the crux of the failure to cooperate argument.
Yeah, although we're not relying on the page 1 of Form 17 because they may not have had it.
And we so don't know.
We don't know.
But they had all the other pages.
But they certainly knew that they had signed Form 34. They certainly knew all about the easement and the septic system in the front yard. They had the full diagram was provided them by the real estate agent. And then finally, the title is not unmarketable. They did initially claim that it was unmarketable, and that's a separate reason. I haven't had an opportunity to talk about the title, about the escrow, but the key there is that the escrow company must abide by its escrow instructions, and they did that to the letter. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it makes sense to pick up where, as far as Talon following the letter of its instructions to a T, they clearly did not. They did not find the 1993 documents. They did not.
But what in their instructions told them to do that?
Go look for clouds on the title. Look for encumbrances on the title. That was a clear instruction. And they also are obligated to tell the Eliezers if they didn't do that fulsome search, that they're supposed to tell the Eliezers we didn't do it. And they also didn't say that. They didn't go to Snohomish County and actually go through and look to see if there's any encumbrances. But as it relates, getting back to this alleged failure to cooperate, one of the simplest responses to that is once the insurance company is in breach of contract, mm-hmm. they can no longer enforce contract terms on their insured. When they denied coverage in 2011, they were in breach of contract. They can no longer hire lawyers and then argue that the insureds are not cooperating in any of the information they're asking for. The insurance
but the failure company. To cooperate, didn't that go back to 2007? I mean, failure to disclose?
title insurance is separate from the Talon. On the Talon, it's the Eliezer's position that Talon was in the position to be aware of the easements and all that issue. And the
Eliezer's saying on the claim it was a matter of?
On the claim, First American. And that's so First American is citing the insurance policy, not the Talon contract on the failure to cooperate.
So why were they in breach in 2011?
A claim was filed, and they denied it. They did no investigation. They just simply said, you have no damages in 2011. They didn't do any investigation. They didn't ask to meet with the Eliezers. They didn't send out any kind of an adjuster to go to the property and ask any questions. They didn't ask Talon, their own agent, any information about the easement. So in 2011, they didn't do any of that information. And then in 2012, they accepted coverage. They determined, and
well, that's because they kept investigating.
Well, no, the Eliezers kept pushing for coverage. And so they resubmitted it. And then in 2012, First American said there is coverage. Then they waited 16 months to have an appraisal done. An appraisal came back, said there's $125,000 diminished value because of these
1993. And then they agreed with that.
Well, then in 2013, then they pulled it back.
Right. No, they agreed, and then they changed their mind.
Exactly. That's what happened. And so the Eliezers are constantly in a moving target of trying to get help from their insurance company. They wanted help in this the title action. They wanted help in the diminished value. They kept seeking assistance from their insurance company. And so, you know, looking back, the 2013 denial evidences the unreasonable investigation in 2011, 2012, and we had documented all of the WAC violations. Which is not a cause of action, but it's enhanced damages.
Okay.
Thank you. That concludes our morning calendar. You recess.